Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's always a great pleasure when we welcome our next guest to the program. Best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, after her own battle with cancer, is now against the preventative care that is supposed to prolong life and guarantee health. It may sound suicidal, but Ehrenreich claims that most of the medical tests that she is urged to take fall short of the evidence-based standard she requires to go to the hospital and undergo unpleasant and intrusive procedures. Her new book is Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness, The Certainty of Dying, and Our Illusion of Control. Barbara Ehrenreich tackles the politics of women's health care, watching average Americans become fierce advocates for pointless diets, unnecessary procedures and checkups, and an unhealthy amount of exercise, without the full knowledge of how flimsy the science behind these practices really is. Is control over our bodies even possible? The feminist icon and author of Nickel and Dimed holds a degree in cellular immunology and uses it to great effect as she topples the institutions and customs that guide our attempts at living a long, healthy life. Barbara Ehrenreich's new book, again, is Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness, The Certainty of Dying, and Our Illusion of Control. And it is a great honor to welcome Barbara Ehrenreich back to our program. Always a pleasure. Good morning.
Glad to be back with you.
Thank you very much for taking the time. At what point was it, or did you already, how much of these views did you hold prior to going through your own medical crisis?
I have always been a skeptical person. I can't help it, you know. I question everything that comes along. But I had been pretty dutiful about doing the checkups and the tests that seemed to be required. Only I was finding as I got older that there were more and more of these tests and things. And I just began, in a very rational way, doing a little research on everything that my primary care doctor was trying to get me to undergo. It's really easy. You know, if you get it, I'm just telling you, this is a how-to point. If somebody says you need a bone density scan, for example, take those words, bone density scan, and Google them along with the word controversy or with the words evidence-based. And you'll find in almost every case that there is a lot of controversy over the value of these tests, whether they save lives in the end or contain risks that you don't want to undergo.
Well, you talk about this in the book. I just want to touch on that phrase, evidence-based. You question in the book the accuracy of much of that evidence-based medicine. How did we get to that point of having that have such power?
Medicine itself?
Well, yes, in these studies, these evidence-based studies.
Well, these are not all these procedures that you're told to undergo are evidence-based. And a lot of them already have been pretty much repudiated by the medical profession or the bodies of experts who study these things. The annual physical exam, you know, don't we all think of that as a responsibility, a big test, which in a way will determine how virtuous we've been about eating and exercise and all the other things we do? The annual physical exam it doesn't do anything. People who have them do not live longer than people who don't have them. It's not evidence-based. So one way doctors are talking about the annual exam is that it's a ritual. I'm not interested in undergoing rituals with medical personnel.
So when you hear something, I'll just throw this out from my life, which is I just turned 50 and my doctor's been after me for years and said, when you're 50, obviously it's time for you to have a colonoscopy. I turned 50 in December. I went to my doctor in March and I have the procedure expected in the next couple of weeks. Is that ritual or is that genuinely necessary?
Well, all these things have a lot of discussion around them. What my objection to colonoscopies is that in most European countries, what they do instead is something that's completely non-invasive. They look at a stool sample to see whether there are tiny bits of blood in it. If there are tiny bits of blood in it, then they may proceed to a colonoscopy. But they wouldn't do that first.
Right.
You know, the colonoscopy is a very invasive procedure, to say the least. So I decided, well, if anybody is interested in whether I have colon cancer, do the first thing, do the stool test. But the other thing that I weigh in, which you, as a young person, of a mere 50-year-old, may not think about, is that, okay, if I have, it turns out I have colon cancer right now at the age of 76. Am I going to go through surgery and what's the other thing that they do? You know, in chemotherapy, any of that?
Right. Procedures
no,
that would,
not at
would
my age.
Try to keep you alive.
Hmm?
Well, you make this point in the book about this industry, as you call it, an immortality industry of efforts to stay alive, and you bring up this question of, well, when are we old enough to die? Do you believe that there is a breakdown in our that the breakdown of our bodies, the natural degradation of our bodies, is indeed natural? And at what point do we give in to that?
Well, that's a very subjective determination. Certainly by the time I hit 70, I felt I was old enough not to want to waste time sitting in the windowless waiting rooms of doctors or scanning centers to spend whole afternoons or whole days doing these sorts of things. My time is too precious. Now, you might make another judgment, as I said, as a younger person. But I just don't see that there is enough value for the time and the anxiety we invest in these things.
The thing I loved about your book is that it is certainly not anti-prevention or anti-medicine. What you are, and beautifully so, you are pro-skepticism and you are pro-putting this all into context and perspective. Is that safe to say?
Oh, yes. I should say I'm an equal opportunity critic in this book. I go after conventional medicine, so-called scientific medicine, for not being scientific enough. And I also go after all these sort of new age holistic stuff.
Yeah.
Around one particular idea, the holistic things, which are, you know, include so many alternative forms of healing that are now finding their way into cooperation with the medical profession. They're barely pretending to be scientific, and they assume something that is just not true. And that is that the body or the body and the mind are a completely harmonious system. And if we just think right, eat the right foods, if we're mindful and all those things, everything will be okay. That's not true, though. And the last part of my book, you know, goes into the science to show, well, some things are obvious.
Mm.
Our body is not just a harmonious system, but a kind of battlefield at times between conflicting priorities and conflicting cell types, like cancer. Yes, it's in many cases caused by environmental things, but what it is, what it amounts to, is a group of cells, and first in one cell in our body, deciding it doesn't want to be an obedient member of the group and deciding to just go crazy and reproduce itself and try to take over the whole body, which is dumb, we could say, right? Because that's just going to kill them too in the end. But they do it. Or autoimmune disease, where the immune system turns against parts of our body. Or the fact that the immune system and particular cells within it make it possible for tumors to metastasize throughout the body. So it's not such a pleasant situation.
The name of the book is Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness, The Certainty of Dying, and Our Illusion of Control. Let me focus on those last words. I love them. That our illusion of control. What do you believe that to be?
Well, we have an idea in our culture and most affluent cultures, most among affluent people around the world, that you can control your body. You can control your health. It's your responsibility, and so do it, you know. And this includes diet and the constant quest for what the idea of what is it safe or good to eat. I've sort of stopped even following that. I can't keep up with the changes. This includes exercise, which I think is good, though you have to, as you get older, you have to recognize your body is not sometimes strong enough for the exercises you're trying to do, and it includes all sorts of mental things like mindfulness, which I am very critical of here in this book, as well as the whole idea of wellness, which is pretty much a way to separate wealthy people from their money through offering them, you know, luxurious wellness spa vacations. I can't even begin to list the things that go into that. You could spend your entire day, believe me, on these different skincare and dietary adjustments and so on, supplements that you could do if you wanted. They're not going to save us.
Mm. Do you believe when you look at this, you mentioned the pricey spas and so forth, but how much of this in the medical industry is greed? Is, well, we have an opportunity to get money to put a person through this test, that test, and...
Well, yeah, you could say in a very overarching sense that the medical industry doesn't make much money from healthy, well people.
Right.
You and I are wealthy, are healthy, probably, and well, and getting on. So how can they make money off us unless they say, we have to put you through all these tests until we find something? Which is why when I interviewed or talked to a primary care doctor most recently, my new one, I said, look, I'll come to you if something is bothering me, but you cannot go looking for problems. Of course, you can always find them.
Yeah.
And that's how they make money now, testing well people until they can get something to investigate more. And it's the opposite, of course, for the poor, for the lower, say, half of the income distribution. Nobody's pressing them to get tested and everything all the time. In fact, you see, there's just dangerous things going on right now. We have an actual rise in maternal mortality among poor and especially black women. We have a lot of young people who can't get help for their drug problems. So while the affluent, and especially the affluent elderly, who have Medicare, are over-diagnosed, over-examined, often over and unnecessarily treated, a huge swath of the population is going without basic care.
As I mentioned, the name of the book is Natural Causes, An Epidemic of Wellness, The Certainty of Dying and Our Illusion of Control. The book is published by 12. Barbara Ehrenreich, it's always a great honor to have you on our program. I thank you for sharing with us this morning, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Well, thank you, too.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Natural Causes. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.